This is ABC Radio in New York. About this time each evening, we have some observations from Alex Dreyer in Chicago. Here is Alex Dreyer.
And it is a shocked and horrified nation that tonight contemplates the loss of its president. And even at this hour, the full impact of our loss is not complete. The aura of disbelief that such things can happen, even though they have happened in the past, still hangs heavily around all of us. The loss of the president is not easily assessed by anyone, and we would presume too much to attempt to analyze it critically and expertly here and now. He was a president of storybook stature, young, handsome, with a brilliant mind and buoyant personality. He had wit and charm and intellectual depth. He was superbly educated and eminently well qualified for the highest office in the land, despite his seeming youthful appearance. He was a war hero cut from historic cloth, a combat officer whose exploits won him acclaim and the unswerving loyalty of the men who served with him and for him. He was a loving husband and father who brought a special kind of human warmth to the great house on Washington's Pennsylvania Avenue. He was a man of great human feelings who constantly risked his political future to back causes that were not the most popular, but causes in which he believed, causes he felt were just. But no idea was ever killed with a bullet. And the president's ideas, his plans for a stronger and better nation, his driving ambition to create a better life for his fellow Americans, the very assassin who took his life among them, will live on. It has been said that no one, not even men of great dedication and skill like those who comprise the Secret Service, can completely protect the President of the United States from physical harm. And no group knows that better than the Secret Service itself. You cannot protect a man, any man, from an inspired maniac or a deranged killer. But most of all, you cannot protect a man from simple, blind hate. A lot of people kill the President today. And the killers are the hate peddlers who carry all kinds of names and labels. Hate peddlers who strike in the dark. Hate peddlers with their venomous little publications that come through the mail without official addresses. Hate peddlers who whisper libels about men in positions of power. Hate peddlers who harbor in their dark hearts cancerous notions about what is right and what is wrong. Like another president who was martyred, Abraham Lincoln, President Kennedy was the target of every half-baked extremist group in the nation. They attacked his Roman Catholicism, his fight to bring equal rights to American Negroes, his policies of social welfare, his dedication to the liberal philosophy of government, his program of social reform. John Fitzgerald Kennedy will not live in history as just a very popular president, whose term encompassed some of the most complex crises in United States history. The sick mind that thought up the heinous act that ended his life has immortalized his victim. John Fitzgerald Kennedy is now a martyr to the things in which he believed, and those ideals for which he fought are that much stronger now that he has died for them. And what a sickening irony it is that this man who came through so much should die at the hands of a man worth so little. But more than one pair of hands killed the President of the United States, and I think it is important to know what motivated the sick mind behind the assassin's fingers, and the answers are obvious. President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was murdered in cold blood by that small minority who feed on hate. Any one of their number might have fired the deadly bullets that ended the President's life, given the time and the place and the opportunity. So hate, and you reap death. And these things all Americans tonight should remember. The people who blatantly preach that Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren should be hanged can share in the guilt of this day. The people who spat and cursed their ambassador to the United Nations, Adlai Stevenson, can wonder if their own emotions are under proper control. And the people who hate their fellow man because the Creator happened to make him different from them would do well to examine their own consciences this day. We do not know the philosophy of the killer of President Kennedy, but we do know that to kill, you must hate first or be completely insane. And even the insane person must be motivated to action. What makes a man move to the extremes of erratic action? Perhaps even the psychiatrist cannot give us the complete answer to that question, but this we do know. Every extremist who harangues meetings and writes in onerous publications and spreads venomous lies about those with whom he disagrees contributes to the hate that spills over into assassination by person or persons unknown. The killer may have been anti-Catholic, anti-Negro, anti-liberal, or what, or he may have felt, as other deranged men have before him, that he was on a divinely inspired mission to save the world from someone or something. Mr. Kennedy's body has been returned to the Capitol, where it will lie in state at the White House tomorrow and at the Capitol building on Sunday. And tonight, one can only imagine the innermost feelings of Lyndon B. Johnson as he took the presidential oath of office a short time after Mr. Kennedy was pronounced dead. Despite rumors to the contrary, the president and the vice president were friends who enjoyed each other's respect and confidence. Even though they had once been political foes in the same party and had even opposed each other for the Democratic nomination for president, they had welded themselves into a close working team. Now Mr. Johnson is president of these United States, and already, although it is still only hours ago that a smiling President Kennedy was greeting that vast crowd in Dallas, Mr. Johnson carries the greatest single burden of responsibility in the free world. And a short time ago in Washington, President Johnson expressed his deep sorrow and personal loss and prayed for the help of all Americans and God. Few will doubt that this man can handle the job he accepts with so heavy a heart. And back in 1957, he suffered a massive heart attack. But he today is possessed of boundless energy and enough willpower for half a dozen men. Those who know Johnson best say he will be up to the monumental tasks that lie ahead, and in the confused days that will follow this one, leaders of both political parties will rally around the new president to assist him in every way they can. No man is indispensable. Mr. Lincoln was not. Franklin D. Roosevelt was not. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, not. But like those two men whom he admired and respected so very much, John Fitzgerald Kennedy was much loved and will be long remembered. Sometimes when a man dies in a violent way, a legend is born, and the things he held dear live on far beyond anyone's power to detract. This has been a dark and shameful day for the nation. Shameful! It has lost a great leader, and the personal loss to his family cannot even be estimated. But this is a worldwide loss as well. From all over the world, messages of condolences have been pouring into the White House, and no one will ever know what commitments and understandings between the president and other chiefs of state are in need of clarification now. But the nation will move on. In Mr. Kennedy's own words, it must move forward. It was moving forward with him. Now it must move forward without him. And tonight I am speaking to you from Chicago, where this program emanates each weekday. This is a city that dearly loved the president. It was and is, frankly, a Democratic town. But here in Chicago, the respect and admiration for President Kennedy transcended party lines. This is a city that always turned out in force and would wait hours to see Mr. Kennedy on his infrequent visits here. His picture peers out from many a window, from the plushest high-rise apartments to the most grinding slums. The ex-war hero with the infectious grin seemed to have a special kind of appeal for Chicagoans who still remain rugged individuals fiercely loyal to their local heroes. And today, Chicagoans grouped in the rain to discuss this day's loss in almost hushed tones. Places of entertainment were almost barren of customers. You could walk 5 blocks without seeing a smile. And I know I did. Chicago has a heavy heart tonight, and I'm sure its mood matches that of the nation. This is Alex Dreyer, ABC News, Chicago.